Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, let's talk about the accident because we are... It's not even a year yet, is it?
No, not a year, mate. I think it's two more weeks into a year. It's gone so quick.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, I remember meeting you at Mike Tyndall's golf day and you just had the accident and your spirits were remarkable. But how were you feeling inside? I mean, just cast your mind back before the accident and then enduring and just describe it to us. Just tell us, and anyone who out there who doesn't know, what actually happened.
So obviously it was, like you say, nearly a year ago now, and it was the second round of the F4 British Championship, which we were doing quite well in at the time. It was sort of, I think we had two or three podiums in the first four or five races, so it was kind of, we were right up the sharp end, and the aim was always to fight for the title, and then obviously had the accident in that sixth race of the year, I think it was, at Donington. Just a stationary car just spun off, and my view was kind of blocked by two other cars that I was racing with. And as they pulled out the way last minute, it was kind of, this car was just suddenly all I could see. So it was just, it was one of those sort of accidents where it's no one's fault, but it's just one of those things that can happen sometimes. Mm. But it was, obviously it was a tough time at that point for everyone involved, like my family and friends and stuff.
Yeah. So what do you actually remember of it? Or have you been able to sort of block a lot of the pain out?
I wasn't even in pain at the time. I think I was awake for the first 40 minutes after my accident, and then they put me into an induced coma. But in terms of being in pain, obviously the medics were really good at getting to me quite quick. And at the time, like I said, I felt fine. So I told them to go look at the other driver because I felt fine. But I could hear him in pain, so I thought, I'd send them over there. And it wasn't until sort of 5 minutes afterwards where sort of the adrenaline kind of goes away and you kind of just sat there, and then they started to feel a little bit more, a bit more in pain from the accident, and I realised that my injuries were worse than what I thought when I was just sat in the car waiting for the medics to kind of finish dealing with the other driver.
So what did you think at the time on the scene? How bad did you think it was?
I knew it was quite bad because just purely off people's faces. I mean, it was a weird feeling being sat in the car, not being able to get out because of how bad the crash was. But just looking around at sort of the doctors' faces and everything, you could see not panic spreading in, but they knew how serious it was quite early on. Mm. So I guess it was kind of a helpless feeling at that point because you can't do anything. You've just got to rely on what everyone else is gonna do for you, but luckily they do a good job and I'm still here.
Absolutely. Now, in that 40 minutes that you just talked of, your sister was with you, wasn't she? Tell us what you remember of the conversation that you had with
Bonnie. She was still with me by the side of the car. Obviously, when the doctors went out on track, they asked if any of the family wanted to come out, and at that point my mum was she was a bit fragile, so Dad was looking after her, and Bonnie said that she'd go. And then she was kind of perched by the side of my car for, like you say, the first 40 minutes that I could remember before they put me to sleep. So she was kind of there the whole time. I can't really remember what she was saying to me. I think she was just more being there for support, kind of. It was good to have someone, a familiar face by your side when something like that's happening.
Because you're close in age, aren't you? What, like 14, 15 months apart? Yeah. She's younger.
Yeah, 14 months, she's younger than me.
So, you know, you're almost twins in a way. My kids are actually the same age gap. And already they kind of squabble and love each other to a ridiculous extent. It's either one or the other. Is it the same with Bonnie?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. I mean, yeah, when we were younger, we always used to argue with each other. But now we've got a bit older and stuff, It's a bit of both, really. We're either arguing with each other or, yeah, we're really close.
So in a way, I bet that must have helped a massive amount, having her there when you needed her most. I mean, it must have been tough for her. Have you talked about it afterwards?
No, it's not something that we've really talked about. She's a fiery redhead, my little sister, so she can look after herself. She's normally the one trying to look after me. So, it's not really been something that I guess that we've had to talk about. It was good in that moment to have her by my side, even though, yeah, we weren't arguing at the time, luckily enough.
and then they put you into this induced coma that then lasted for 3 days. What do you remember of waking up and the realisation that actually you had lost both legs?
It was obviously a bit of a surreal moment. Like I said, the only thing that helped me, I think, in that situation was the fact that I knew it was going to be fairly serious beforehand, before they put me to sleep. I think it would have been tougher for me to think everything was going to be okay and then wake up and then them tell me such devastating news. But, it definitely helped for them to kind of ease me into it, I guess you could say. And then having family and friends around when I kind of realised the injuries, that was obviously helpful as well. So, no, it was kind of... Although it's such a shocking thing to find out, there was a few things that happened in the build-up to it that I think, for me, helped me to move on with it a bit quicker.
And how did you move on? Like, I mean, again, I saw you just weeks later and I couldn't believe that you were up and about and in interacting with people and not feeling sorry for yourself in any way. But what was going on inside?
It's difficult to say, really. Obviously, I didn't really have a chance to sit in hospital in the dark and kind of get myself down about it, just because I had so many bubbly kind of positive people around me. Like, my family were there, all of my friends from school and from racing, all the members of the team, they were always coming to the hospital. I don't think I had a day in hospital where I didn't have more people than I was meant to have in my room with me. Which was obviously really helpful, because it just feels normal when you've got people around you that you know. If I was sat in hospital and I didn't have anyone around me that I really knew, then I might have felt a bit different. But no, it definitely helps out a lot.
And the motorsport community really did rally, didn't it? I mean, I remember this just outpouring of support for you, firstly on social media and then in actual terms, people fundraising. The crowdfunding was just immense. Just tell us about that and that kind of boost that it gave you.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, obviously, when I had my accident, they put me in an induced coma, and I can't remember anything from that Sunday evening when it happened to, I think I woke up the middle of Wednesday. So it was sort of 3 days after the accident that I was kind of, although I'd been awake with all the drugs I was in, that I had in my system, I wasn't really in the room at the time, even though I was awake. So, that was sort of the first sort of thing I could remember. And obviously at that point, the Just Forgiven page had already gone up and was live. So it was kind of, I woke up and people were showing me, look at all this support you're getting. And it was kind of, it was there from the earliest point I remember, the support was there. So it was, a bit surreal, really. But, like I say, I didn't even know anything was going on. I was, daydreaming, I guess you could say. And then, I woke up and to all this support, and it was a bit overwhelming. But it was, a pretty cool feeling to have from early days anyway.
How do you think your mum and dad have coped?
I think at the time they were putting on strong faces when I was in hospital. The doctors were telling them behind closed doors. My mum was telling me that they said that you've got to be strong, because obviously however their attitude was towards it rubs off on how I'm going to feel about it. They did an awesome job early on of being strong and being able to cope with what had happened. But I think... it was obviously a tough time for him. I think it probably affected my dad early on more than it affected my mum, just because he was the one who got me into racing. So I think at some stage he probably felt a bit guilty for what had happened to me. But no, he kind of, I was quite early on. I just told him that it was something that, or that he couldn't force me to do it. Although he wanted me to do it from a young age, it was something that I wanted to do myself. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. So I think that kind of helped him get over things. And then obviously my mum, with everything going on, trying to be the strong one and hold everyone together, it was tough on her as well. And I think she's taken a bit longer to get come to terms with it, just because early on she probably blocked it out more than the rest of us did. But no, I think we're getting there, and like I say, we're quite strong as a unit. So I think that's how everyone's helping each other out.
And do you think it has brought you closer together?
Yeah, I think so. I'd agree with that. Obviously, there's been times where it gets someone down and there's an argument, and it's kind of, it is quite a testing time for everyone. But I think in general, we are closer together than we were before.
So do you talk about it a lot as a family?
Not really, not unless it's brought up. I mean, it's kind of, some of us, I don't mind talking about it as much as my mum does, just because people have asked me questions about it quite regularly since it's happened. So it's kind of something that I've just been made aware of and talked about a fair bit. Well, my mum kind of, like I say, blocks it out a bit more, so when it does come up, she probably is more affected by it than I am.
That's really interesting, because I read something about PTSD, and that if you have a big trauma, that you just need to keep talking until it no longer feels scary to talk about. The more you bury it, then the minute something does come up, then it acts as a catalyst to like open the floodgates, and you start crying and you get very emotional again. And so I guess maybe talking about it has been your therapy in some way.
Yeah, I probably think so. I mean, every day I had people in the hospital, and even if we weren't talking about that, we were talking about racing related things. So it's kind of, I think the whole having people around me that were talking about things to do with racing and obviously what happened to me quite early on, I think that really helped me to kind of just come to terms with it. And like you say, I wasn't, after a few days, I wasn't really scared of what had happened anymore. Obviously, it lasts longer than a few days. It's not that simple, but the majority of what had happened and the overwhelming feeling I had was kind of gone quite soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.